All right, everyone, in the interest of time, we're going to go ahead and get our board meeting started. My name is Chelsea. I'm the new executive director of Meridian Kessler Neighborhood Association. We have a number of board members, as well as public servants here, as well as constituents. For everyone's information, we host a public monthly board meeting with Meridian Kessler Neighborhood Association here on the second Thursday of every month at 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. Those are open to the public. That's discussing this agenda, this particular item that I'm sure all of you are here for, because I imagine you're not here to see me, unless you are. Welcome. This item has been on the agenda since May. We've been discussing this at length, so please join us at those meetings. We would be happy to have you. First item on our agenda, this is us calling the meeting to order. We have a number of things on our agenda today. On it, at the very top, is obviously discussing Central Avenue. We will discuss that item at length for about 30 minutes. We, in the interest of everyone's time, your time, my time, our board members that volunteer their time, as well as our public servants, we're going to stick to that timeline. If there are additional questions, we will put up an online form, send directly to DPW, and hope for a timely response on those questions. So, that being said, I'm going to sit down because this is awkward. Do you have my questions over there? Thanks, Mark. So we did put together, as promised, MKNA has brought together our city county councilors. So thank you to Councilor Fanning for being here with us tonight. We expect Simpson to show up at some point this evening. We also want to thank IMPD Sergeant Hemphill here representing IMPD, as well as Betsy Whitmore, Mark Zoyer of DPW, and Mr. Shaw from American Structure Point for joining us this evening. So that everyone is aware, residents were given 24 hours to submit questions via an online form through MKNA for today's Q&A session. Our infrastructure chair, Jerry Finnegan, which many of you know, went through those questions and filtered those responses for appropriateness, relevance, and to avoid duplicity. As time allows, we will pose each question to DPW to respond. All questions and answers will be recorded for the record and placed online for public consumption. At the conclusion of the discussion, we will create an additional form for questions that residents feel were unanswered and submit those to DPW for response. Before we start the discussion, we would like to remind everyone that this will be a timed discussion. We have 30 minutes on the agenda to discuss this topic, and in the interest and respect of everyone's time, we will keep to that. Additionally, we would like to set some basic ground rules to ensure respectful discourse. Number one, we are going to be respectful of one another and our public servants. We're all volunteers here, okay? Our public servants are volunteering our time, our board is volunteering our time, but we want to make sure we hear our residents out. Second and final point is that any type of hateful, disrespectful speech will not be tolerated, and you will be asked to leave. That being said, we would like to kick the conversation off with DPW with an initial question. So I'd like to invite, we have Mark Zoyer, we have Mr. Shaw, and we have Ms. Betsy Whitmore with DPW here to join us. Do you guys want to sit? Do you want to stand? Where do you feel most comfortable?
I'm sure.
Are you?
I'm staying.
You want to think on your feet, whatever's more comfortable. Wherever you guys feel comfortable, okay?
Here's fine.
Cool. So in May, Meridian Kessler Neighborhood Association was informed of a number of temporary interventions being developed by DPW to aid in the calming of traffic on Central Avenue due to the construction on College Avenue for Redline. Interventions include the installation of temporary speed tables, signals, and the conversion of 3 4-way stops to 2-way stops. As a thoroughfare, Central Avenue is home to 4 educational institutions, collectively with around 400 or more students and hundreds of homes and residents. So our first and second questions are, can DPW first explain the system of proposed interventions? And secondly, how the temporary changes will impact the safety of walkers, runners, cyclists, etc., that use Central on a daily basis?
Okay, so can we all also set the tone by talking about how we got where we got? The red line has got diversion routes set up in it that send everybody over to Meridian. We don't believe everybody will go to Meridian. We believe that they'll flood the neighborhoods. We believe they'll flood the neighborhoods. And so we did a diversion analysis that Hardik's people did, a diversion analysis to look at where traffic would be most likely to go. And so So did you hear me say that the red line plans have got diversion routes? They'll post diversion routes. They'll be like detour signs coming in both to, from both sides of College Avenue when college construction starts that says divert to Meridian if you're going downtown. Don't use College to try and keep some of the traffic off of College. College has got about 15,000 cars a day that use that stretch. And we think that when construction starts, that a significant number of those will go someplace else because things will get slower. So Hardik's going to talk about the study we did and how we got to changing, I think, five of the four-way stops to traffic full-blown traffic signals, putting in speed tables to slow folks down. The traffic signals are to both regulate traffic and platoon vehicles through there so that you get a slug of cars going and then a gap. And then a slug of cars going in a gap. So it's easier to cross back and forth across Central because we all jaywalk. So there still has to be that opportunity to do that, even though officially we don't like that. And then there are three additional four-way stops that have been converted to two-way stops because of how the spacing is for the signals and how things are so close together. So I'm going to let Hardik talk a little bit, and then I'll probably interrupt him.
Yeah. So I think, as Mark mentioned, one of the main reasons DPW is actually looking into doing what they did, not only along here and maybe some of the other corridors, is mainly because of what's going to come with the BRT, the Red Line BRT construction. And I think as part of the BRT, Red Line BRT project, there were certain routes that were identified where traffic is going to be diverted. But there was nothing specific maybe for what happens during construction. And I think that was one of the main concerns that DPW had, which is why we looked into doing a diversion analysis. And what it does is, just to give you guys maybe an understanding on the traffic analysis or the traffic engineering that goes behind it, I think the idea is when you're going to have a street under construction, there's going to be official detours. Not everyone is going to use the official detour route. Traffic is more like people try to find the path of least resistance. I think they try to go through the corridors where they feel more comfortable. If they are more of the regular commuters, they know the routes, they're probably going to use those corridors. So what we ended up doing is we wanted to look at some of the parallel routes in the vicinity of the College Avenue segment. I think those routes mainly included Central Avenue, Washington, Pennsylvania, and Meridian. I think the idea is, yes, there will be diversion happening through all these different streets, but the concern was also which streets are actually going to have the capacity to be able to cope up with this additional traffic that is going to detour through those different routes. And if there's going to be increasing traffic through those routes, what does that mean in terms of the safety for the traveling public, as well as for the pedestrians and the people who are living across those streets and the neighborhood? And I think that was one of the main reasons why what we ended up doing is we looked into some of the peak conditions. So we collected traffic data at a lot of different locations within the parallel routes. We observed the traffic. We actually came out here during peak times in the morning, afternoon, as well as during the midday peak, just to look at what kind of traffic patterns we are seeing, what type of backups or maybe queues that we are experiencing, so that we can at least try to identify whether commuters are going to really be attracted to that particular route or not. And I think based on that data collection, we ended up looking into what additional safety enhancements would be needed at some of these routes to make sure that not only during construction when the traffic is going to be detoured through MOT, but also keep in mind that once Red Line is completely done, there is going to be one less travel lane through certain segments. And I think it's going to actually impact and impede the flow of traffic through those segments that actually has a red line going through. And that is obviously going to reflect into people diverting through some of the other roadway network. And I think DPW's intent is to make sure that we are preparing ahead of that, to make sure that we are doing whatever enhancements from a safety standpoint that needs to be done to address those issues that might be coming not only during construction but also in a permanent situation down the line. Because Red Line, for example, on Meridian, there's going to be a dedicated bus lane which basically is going to take one travel lane away in both directions. So if you can imagine, you have two lanes out there right now, and now in future, once Red Line is done, there's going to be only one lane going northbound and one lane going southbound with left and right turn lanes through the entire network. And I think that's going to have an obvious impact on traffic detouring. People who are commuting on a regular basis, they're going to find different routes. So that was really the main intent behind this. And one more thing I wanted to add is we ended up looking at all these different corridors. And out of all these different corridors, Washington, Pennsylvania, I mean, none of these are kind of like considered as maybe a thoroughfare routes. I know they are neighborhood streets. Central seemed to be, again, from a driver's perspective, I think it seemed to be a little bit more attractive, which is where I think you could anticipate that there's going to be some traffic that is going to be diverted to Central. And if you would not do anything along that corridor, then I think it can have additional safety implications down the line or during construction or maybe in the permanent situation. So this was really to try to get ready for what's coming so that we can really make it better for the neighborhood as well.
In the interest of time, guys, we have a couple of specific questions.
Okay, sure.
So I, as far as summary is concerned, thank you for that, but there are some very specific questions.
Right, sure. That gets us to, so we can talk about
Yes, correct.
Can I see the rest of that question again?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, just so here we have a number of parents. Hopefully we have representation from our schools.
Right.
So everyone, we pass out a map that shows the proposed changes and where schools are located. So as you can see, there are proposed conversions of four ways to two ways directly next to schools and school at 58th and 56th. So you have IHM and you have 84 up there as well. So there is a large concern. We have a number of students that are trying to cross Central from east to west to get to school, whether it be by foot or by bicycle. And we have a number of parents and principals and teachers from those schools that would like to talk about the conversions of four ways to two ways there. A number of people have driven the route multiple times since these have been proposed. And from a driver's perspective, the four-way stops seem great. They're there, the speed tables are there, everything seems to work as is. So why is there such an urgency to replace those with two ways?
Because we think there's gonna be more than twice the traffic.
Can I hear you?
Because we, I'm sorry. Here, let me come out in the middle.
Yes.
It's because we believe there's going to be more than twice the traffic on Central during construction than there is now. And so what the plan is, currently there are traffic signals 38, 46, Kessler, and Weston. That's the whole stretch that we're looking at. And the plan is to convert four-way stops to full-blown traffic signals temporarily at 42nd, 49, 52nd, 54th, and 57th. So adjacent to each school, there's full-blown traffic signal. It's got crosswalks, it's got pedestrian signals, and people have to stop. I live up in Warfield, I drive Central. You all know people go through the stop signs. I believe people are much less likely to roll through the traffic signal than they are stop signs. So that's part of why we think this up for the stop signs. Then there are three two-way or four-way stop signs that temporarily we plan to convert to two-way stops. There are 40th, 56th, and 58th. We've gone back and we're looking at 56th. I can't tell you what the answer is yet. We're trying to figure out if we can make that work. There are speed tables around 40th Street, 43rd Street, 51st Street, 56th Street, and 58th Street. And as I drive that every day, and I've been trying to drive that at a variety of times, and I'm driving in the morning to work, I'm driving in the evening on my home, it appears to me that there's still a traffic light. And there's no reason when once we start the signals, so they won't continue to do that. You have to slow down the road cross. When they were first put in, I got time to talk about this?
You have on this question, I mean, because we do have a number, you got a minute 30.
All right, so.
I'll take 20 seconds.
Okay. Yeah, we'll keep things on time, guys.
The thing is about safety is that we've got signals that actually stop traffic, pedestrian signals to take you back and forth across Central, back and forth across the numbered streets. And the C tables are helping to slow people down.
Yeah, I was just going to add that when you're looking at stop control intersection with conventional situation, you're not comparing the magnitude of traffic. So, for example, when the construction hits the road, when the permanent situation is going to happen, you're going to see that there's going to be increase in traffic. And when there is increase in traffic, I think the same stop control location that you're looking at right now. Is going to have a different perception from a safety standpoint. So I think putting the signals with the pedestrian indications will actually allow for a safer, that was one of the main reasons, allowing for signals to have pedestrian crosswalks and pedestrian indications that allows for a safer movement for anyone who is crossing either north, south, or east, west. So again, there is statistics out there that shows that with the stop control location, if the magnitude of traffic keeps on increasing, you're going to actually compromise on the safety benefits of having stop signs out there. And I think, as Mark mentioned, putting a traffic signal, the chances of people rolling over a stop sign versus a signal, I think it's going to be more with the stop sign when you start seeing more traffic going through the neighborhood. So
one of the questions, yes, Counselor.
More construction we'll have to do, and we will do better.
Well, I'm just saying to you, you need to let these people know.
Yeah.
I mean, don't do it without letting these folks know, because they live in this, they live on the streets. They live on everything. It's like the red line. I've yet to hear red lines got funded. I've yet to hear that the left-hand turn, because when they got that left-hand turn approved, they didn't have an MOA. That left-hand turn is not even in effect legally. So there's some issues that DPW need to get with some people. At least get, I'll be happy to get and talk to you about it, because I don't want my constituents upset
right
at all. And they expect us as public service to notify them and make sure things, you know, are done in a proper manner. And this was a major change. I told Chelsea this was a major change. I knew she was on top of it, but the point was a lot of people thought of it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Counselor. Well, and I think that's one thing that we are learning as an organization, too, going forward, is the more you interact with us, the more we learn about how you want to be interacted with. So these changes were first announced in early May and from Meridian Kessler Neighborhood Association, and we heard the outcry the second speed tables went on the street. So the more you tell us how you want to receive information, do you want letters? Do you want Facebook? Do you want websites? Do you want me to use every minute on my phone to call you? I'm happy to do it. I've made more phone calls in the past week than I have my entire life, and I was a child of the 90s, okay? But however you would like us to be engaging with you, we need to know those things, because we thought we were doing the right thing by posting on our website, by posting it on Facebook for public consumption. However, we did, this is a lesson learned for all of us, that we need to find a better way and a more effective way communicating with the entire neighborhood, not just certain sections of it. So any constructive, helpful feedback that you have on that, please send it our way. That's one thing that we are working on outside of DPW, outside of Central Avenue. That's something that we're absolutely working on. But getting back to the particular subject, Mark, we have a growing concern because of the way the street is striped, the way certain things are being painted on the street.
Okay.
Right now, when you drive down the street, it feels like a highway. We've got two yellow lines. We've got some dashed lines. There's a
We had two yellow lines. We had dashed lines before.
Correct. Can you explain that further?
In exactly as they were before.
There's some parking.
There's the differences. The differences is there were parking places painted on the, if I recall, on the west side of Central, down in front of St. Jonah Arc.
Mm-hmm.
And that got expanded. And I don't know the process that got that done. I just know that driving up, they were there one day.
After talking with Nathan, St. John, the neighbors that lived around directly around St. John of Arc, there was a concern because of Sunday Mass that the number of cars that were blocking driveways and ADA ramps. So when these, the initial kind of look at that, neighbors had talked to their counselors, had talked to DPW, gone through the mayor's action center and said, on Sunday I can't get out of my driveway, or on Sunday I can't get into my driveway. So the parking spaces were only painted south of St. Joan of Arc in regards to that.
Then also, so there was a question that I saw earlier about the white lines or skip lines, and if it was designated a parking lane, usually they're solid lines. The lines that were put down, this was a resurfaced project that these enhancements were added to, because we happen to have a project going on there, and it was an easy way to roll all this work in. It was a resurfaced project, so they really put back the pavement markings the way they were. There's no plan to turn it into a four-lane street. There's no plan to take away parking. It was just the way it was before.
Okay.
And then it should come on up on the speed tables. We're going to put... set of bands like that as you drive up, they get bigger as you go.
Good.
So you see them. So they'll put those down. They haven't decided if they're putting them down as temporary tape, which means that we have to peel them off when they're done, or if they're going to paint them and they'll wear off by the time we take the seat tables back up. But that's coming as well.
And the temporary tape is a cost-effective measure. We have to consider at 40th in Central, for example. We did the resurfacing, the signs were there, but they hadn't been painted yet. So if you're not familiar with the neighborhood and you don't see that stop sign, I've almost been hit by a car on my bike. My child's almost been hit in a stroller. So it's the same problem with motorists. And we talked to DPW, and the solution was to put the temporary tape down for the time being. And once that stop sign is converted to a two-way, they'll pull that tape up. Because the last thing we want to do is confused residents that take the streets every day, especially people that aren't familiar with the traffic patterns. It's one thing for us to know what's going on. It's a completely separate thing to expect someone that's never been on the street before to be able to follow a pattern that they're not familiar with. So the tape is a temporary measure that will come up to make sure that it's very clear what we're supposed to be doing and not supposed to be doing. And to that point, there is definitely, I believe that residents are kind of demystified to this entire process, because it took a really long time to get these four-way stops to be four-way
steps.
From unsafe two-way stops.
Yes.
So can you speak to the process of how these will come out? They have to come out by city ordinance.
Sure.
Just for everyone's concern, it's not just something that got slapped up and can stay there forever. There is a process by which these were approved, installed, and will be removed. But I think what everyone is mostly concerned about is, how do we know you're not just going to forget about Central and leave them there forever?
They can't stay.
Yes,
you have to go 3 years, though, to get that through the full council, through the public works committee. So they have to.
So all the equipment that we put up is temporary. It's on wooden poles. One of the nice things about adding this all to a contract is when we're done, we, DPW, we the city, we get those traffic signals, which means we've got more stuff for when we need to repair. We get the speed tables, which means when a neighborhood gets together and says, we've got everybody on board, we want to have a speed table, we can put that in and test it if they really want it, because they come back up instead of building something permanent that nobody wants and we're done.
Thank you.
So that's all, that all becomes our equipment. But our intent is to not change any of this until Red Line Construction actually starts, which at the moment sounds like it's going to be in the spring of next year. And you're going to run about 6 months, and when they're done, we'll take it back up, because I don't want to have extra signals to maintain. And I don't want to have those speed tables down every afternoon. So it all comes back.
Go ahead, Mark.
So what is curious is, if any of those are things that you end up liking, then what do we do? But that's a conversation to later.
Right. And one of the things that, again, I've been here for 8 months, so I'm still very much on my listening tour, and I have heard time and time again that when you put in speed bumps, that means they're not going to plow our streets anymore. Can you speak to that? You've heard it here. He's going to tell you, spread this rumor instead of the rumor that plows can't go over speed tables.
These aren't speed
bumps. It's not true.
These aren't that humped asphalt that you drive over and believe that it's going to ruin your car. This is a slope up, a flat table, and a slope down. and the problems with Austin. The folks that market these and design these set them up like that, so that people like us would use them. Because if they don't work, for our normal operations, nobody's ever going to buy the product. But it's set up to be able to do that. Just a little bit.
One of our biggest questions, and Sergeant, I'm going to ask if you don't mind coming up front and center. There's obviously always going to be a question of enforcement. We've put these up. I myself and I've talked to Commander Barker, and we slapped his wrist. I saw a police officer go around a speed table before the It better not have been you. And that's something that we saw every person in the neighborhood doing because it's inconvenient. They're in your way. That's their purpose. So enforcement is a really important thing that we need to look at in regards to our stop signs during peak hours as well as off hours, because people fly through stop signs and off hours too. It's not unique to volume. So if you could speak to the process by which we want people to report traffic issues and how we do that, and we'll post it on our website as well. It's already on there, but we'll put it on the homepage to make it easier to find. I suggest bookmarking it to make it easier. It's also very mobile friendly, so if you see it happening, you can use your phone in the moment to do that. Could you speak to that, Sergeant, about the enforcement of these temporary changes?
Yeah. So basically, we're monitoring the whole situation with the new beat policing. We actually have the beat officers that are signers. It's actually three beats up here, so they're all aware of the situation. We're letting them know to try to be a little bit more visible in between runs when they get time to be able to patrol. So what she was talking about with the website, what that is it's through our traffic unit. It's just a website that's, like she said, very user-friendly. You can go there, click on that, and then you can explain or whatever your complaint or whatever your problem is that you're having with whatever traffic it is. Then that actually goes directly to our traffic branch, who that's what they deal with all day long is the traffic complaints and the speeding and the stop signs. So then that way, it'll be a little bit more streamlined going directly to them instead of trying to go through the district to get back around. With that being said, like I said, we're still monitoring it. We're trying to do everything we can as far as the district goes to get out there, just try to send our officers through. And if you guys see one of the officers out, I mean, don't hesitate to stop them if you know they're not on the run or something, and you know, ask them a question, or they might even stop and talk to you guys. And hopefully we'll be able to make some more of these meetings and get a little more input on it.
So that being said, it's my indie. Do you know what it is off the top of your head?
I actually have it. I can get it for you.
Get it on. And speaking to that, I want to allow some people a few minutes to ask if we haven't covered something that's a burning question. Signals are not going to get turned on overnight. Okay, they're not just going to turn. You're not going to go to sleep one day and have a flashing light wake up the next day, and it's going to be a fully functioning signal. Can you speak to the notification process of when the temporary signals will be fully operational so we can do our best to inform through the schools for parents that are coming through the neighborhood, to inform our residents?
How much time do you want?
How much time do you want?
3 minutes.
A week?
To notify us?
Yeah. To notify residents of fully operational signals. Yeah.
What kind of lead time do you want?
What's it?
That's what.
Well, I think we're on a 3 week look at that for red line instruction anyway, so it would make sense.
Yeah. And we want to disseminate through that, through the principals, because we know we have a number of people that go to our schools that don't live directly in the neighborhood and don't have the access to the information that people in the neighborhood might. So we want to make sure we disseminate through the schools, through our website, through social media, through email. If there's another way that you want us to be getting you information, especially this information, it is our safety, please let us know. We want to communicate with you the way you want to be communicated with.
So the way we notify, you know how we put up signs that say road will be closed or detour will happen on or after a date. And that's always because of weather. It's because the contractor says, this is what I'm going to work, and then something happens and it's delayed. So what we try to do is tell you the first day it's going to happen. And then if it isn't, you know, if we know it's delayed, you'll tell us. You can have more information.
Thank you. Okay, so, and again, in the interest of time, we have got 6 minutes, which will double to 12 just because, and we're going to do some public questions. If you feel like we haven't covered something, keep it succinct. Okay, we'll go here and then here. Is that okay? Okay.
Hi, I'm Carissa. I'm a parent representative from CFI 70 on the corner of 46 and Central. We have a couple of issues in my mind. One, our no turn on red signs at the corner of 46 and Central have the wrong times on them. So they say 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Our school doors don't open until 9:05. So,
no.
We'll do that. So I can tell you there have been many, many, many times where my family has, you know, a car is turning into our crosswalk as we're crossing and I'm giving them the death stare, like.
So sure. You email me and tell you times, I'll talk to the sign, okay. Sign shop guys.
Second question is there any plan to slow down traffic on 46th Street? Because the other issue I see as I walk my kids to school is cars racing up to that stop sign or stoplight. And again, I'm holding my kids back. Like, let's make sure they're going to stop. And we have how many walkers now? Like 50?
Over 100. And in the summer, even just the summer, I witnessed multiple accidents at that corner.
Yeah.
Because people
don't. So I would be interested to know if you're going to do anything to slow down 46th Street between College and Central.
So we don't have a plan to do that. Because I'm listening to you now.
Okay.
And I'll go back and ask the traffic guys what they know about that.
That'd be wonderful.
Okay. So between College and Central, there's no stop sign.
There's
no stop sign. College.
So if someone hits a green light on College, and they're they fly over that hump and about lose their axle and they head on down to Central, it could be a big deal.
Yep. Okay.
Go ahead, sir.
I'm a resident of 58th and Central. You know, we consistently see traffic, or studies of fact and stuff too, with traffic clogging through that intersection, majority go north, southbound. I'm thankful that that stop sign is being removed, but I do have a concern about advertising or warning drivers and commuters going east and westbound on 58 to let them know that, you know, by the way, the stop sign is no longer, you know, advertise the fact that they have to stop and look at southbound.
So we use the yellow sign that says cross traffic does not stop.
Okay.
And I will make sure that we've got those included.
I think maybe one more thing I can add to that is there is another sign, warning sign, that we can actually implement. We can talk about that.
Okay.
I think it says new pattern. So basically you have a new traffic pattern. So I think that way you can warn drivers that you are approaching something that is different than what you're used to.
We're
going to
go yellow and then go ahead, ma'am. Thank you.
Okay, you mentioned, I think, the number that they come down to College right now, right? Did you say 15,000?
15,000 is there.
Okay, and those come basically from all out of the neighborhood or up north?
That's just how much traffic's on that stretch of College.
Okay, I'm assuming all of those people aren't going to park in Road Ripple and get their red line downtown?
I think you're probably correct.
So I'm assuming they also are all not going to be on one lane going downtown after the red line is working.
Well, there's only one lane coming back up from downtown, and we do that.
Let's just talk about that now.
Sure.
Most of that 15,000 is probably still going to take Central, Washington Boulevard, or Bend, or Meridian after the red line works.
When we put the stop signs back in, it'll be much less convenient.
No, I'm talking about after the red line. I thought the plan was after the red line works, probably Central would go back to his
original. Right, as it is now, the stop signs all the way down.
But can't you not agree that possibly a lot of that 15,000 is still going to be coming down Central and we are not going to have the stop and go lights?
I can agree with that.
So what is the plan then to make safety for the people and the children that are going to those four schools?
I can agree with that. The problem is that we don't have any way to predict how that's going to be. And typically how we deal with road design, with traffic flow, is reactive. So once the red line's in, we have to look and see how it works so that we can react to that. There's not a way, I don't have this.
So possibly common logic wouldn't tell you that it's probably going to remain just like this.
I wouldn't think it would remain just like this. No, because there's not going to be a concrete truck taking up half only when we have open. And, you know, people bailing out because there's construction going on all the way down.
Yeah. Molly. No, Molly. The Mackinac
Heart
on staff, there's...
I have one for you.
Yes.
So we're... This is the first thing. We want to talk to everybody, and I didn't know that they didn't email you that.
Nobody's
answered. So what we're trying to do is get the NS to stop that silliness about that $84 a day.
Yeah.
I want you to keep knowing what you're doing, and we'll figure out how to get that permitted so that it doesn't cost you.
So I would like to make this note too.
Sure.
As something in your publication that on Michael Hardberry School Days, 57th Street between Central and Washington will be combed off for 15 minutes in the morning and 15 minutes in the afternoon for his safe arrival and departure of our students. He had 100 classes in our school and 70% off.
Yep.
And all the traffic that would come to that stoplight.
We're going to give five more minutes just because we started a little bit late and we had some late arrivals. We're going to go yellow, and then we're going to go yellow, black sweater, black, and blue. So hopefully we can get through those last four seconds. Those four, order of people, raise your hands. We're going to give it five more minutes, folks. We do have a full board meeting agenda. So after this timer goes up, DPW will be exiting the building, and we're going to continue on with our agenda. You're welcome to stay for the remainder of the board meeting. We hope you do. We have other stuff that we're working on in the neighborhood. Again, if you feel like your questions have not been answered through this process, please go back to the website, submit those, and we will submit those to DPW to answer. And next Wednesday, I saw Greg Garrett, our mayor's advocate, is here. Greg has office hours every Wednesday at the College Avenue Library, 3:30 to 5:30. 3 and 4th Wednesday of the month, 3 to 5. We will both be there next Wednesday, and the hope is that we can get responses to those unanswered questions by Wednesday. So we encourage you to come to those office hours next Wednesday if you feel like you have any unresolved questions, etc. So we're going to set another timer for 5 minutes here, and please proceed. Thank you.
First of all, thank you very much for coming out and explaining things. It really cleared a lot of things up for me, and this map is really helpful. I live on Washington Boulevard, right just south of 40th. And my concern when I look at this map is that from the entrance point above Kessler, there's a speed bump to slow traffic down before you hit the change from 4 to 2, a four-way to a two-way stop. But we don't have a comparable structure that way from 38th Street entrance. And even with the four-way stop, people just whip through that intersection. And so I'm concerned that they're gonna whip through it until they get to the speed bump, and there's gonna be some more risk at that intersection that's already is hard to see.
And you're talking about 40th and Washington.
She's talking about this
Central.
One.
Oh, okay.
You're much better than mine.
There's a new school there too, another music school.
Okay. Well, we can actually take a look into that.
I can talk to you afterwards and show you.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I think that's fine.
I don't have any idea about east-west stuff.
No, I think the general idea was because Red Line is going pretty much north-south and it's taking away capacities from the north-south corridors, you are right that there is going to be some change in traffic pattern happening through this east-west corridors as well. But I think what you're going to see is that's going to be reflected more at some of the kind of like the starting and the end point of some of those Red Line segments. And the reason I say that is mainly because people who are driving through the corridors who are already doing that on along the east-west, they're going to continue doing that. But as far as traffic that is using, let's say, College Avenue, all the way from 62nd going down south to 38th Street, I think their pattern is going to change most likely at 62nd and at 38th Street. So you're going to see some impact happening at those nodes. But I think whatever happens in between is going to be more in terms of maybe a lower magnitude. And again, DPW is going to be out there monitoring the traffic patterns and what's happening during construction. So I think that will be another good indication of trying to look at what's happening now, and then also being able to ensure that if there's anything else that needs to be done down the line once the construction is over.
Sorry.
That's okay. So I can add one more thing to that, Mark. The other thing that is not, you cannot see that out there is the signal timings. So there is going to be monitoring of the signal timing throughout the corridor just to make sure if you're seeing backups, if you're seeing situations where the traffic is unusual than what you normally see, then there is going to be signal timing changes that will be happening, which I think we will be monitoring that throughout the entire construction of Redline. So, so that goes with 46th Street Corridor as well as it goes with Kessler Boulevard or any of the signalized corridors that you see along the system.
That is a much more complicated corner than the ones that we did.